Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, Radio Family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. And as we begin, I'd like to share briefly from a few portions of Scripture found in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John. And this is regarding an impotent man who was lying at a pool by the sheep market in Jerusalem. It was called Bethesda, and it had five porches, and a lot of sick folk lay there. They were blind and disabled in some way, and they waited for the moving of the water. And verse 4 begins to explain what that was. "For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he'd been there now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to be into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath." Praise God. So we see here a place that sick people gathered, and they were waiting on God. They were waiting for the troubling of the waters, which an angel on occasion stirred, and there would be healing for whoever got in there first. And I'd like to, if I could, for a brief while, make a comparison, if you will, a spiritual comparison to this recorded event in the Gospels. This man who'd had this infirmity or sickness for 38 years, he lay beside this pool, and when every tried to get in, when the waters were troubled, somebody else got there in advance of him. And just as he thought he might make it, can you imagine his disappointment, the frustration? He didn't have anyone to help him into the water. And the comparison I'd like to make today is there are very many, in terms of polls that are done nationally, many people claim to be Christian. And yet, in terms of their lifestyle, in terms of their commitment to the Lord, there are a great multitude of them, if you will, that are not gathering at a pool, an ancient pool in Jerusalem, but they're coming into a place where they have, you know, they're sick, they're blind, they're spiritually withered, if you will. They're waiting for something from God. That word impotent means lacking in power, strength, or vigor, helpless, sterile, ungovernable. And unfortunately, and this, of course, thank God for those wonderful churches, the committed, precious pastors who minister as under-shepherds to the flock of the Lord. But in a lot of places, there was one place that I was when I before I found a local church, they didn't have a time listed on the marquee. And so I asked someone, I guess he must have been an elder or some position, and I said, when does the service start? And he told me, and he said, we're out by 12 o'clock. And I knew pretty well exactly kind of what service that was going to be, because if they time it so that people can get to the football game or lunch or whatever, obviously the waiting on the Lord is not the most important thing. And in so many places, in so many churches, there's a form, there's a program, there are ritualistic observances, but the word that comes forth across the pulpit is sterile. It's without life, and it's unable to generate life. It's dead. You know, the word, the letter kills, but it's the Spirit of God that gives life. And in so many cases, they're just dead word. They may use scripture. They may very well have PhDs, but they have only a form of godliness that the scriptures talk about, and they deny the power of the living God. I have a marvelous study Bible, and the brother that he's with the Lord, but very committed, very conscientious, but quite clearly his position was there are no miracles for today, no fivefold ministry. We have the written word of God, and all those things that were evidenced in the early church have passed away because we no longer need them. Well, I would think we need them actually even more in the hour in which we are living. You know, these churches may have a Christian name above their doorposts. They may have beautiful prayers, a gorgeous sanctuary. They may observe every holy day, may work in the community, but they still have not been in the water that has been stirred by the hand of God. No angel no godly angel, no heavenly angel does anything but that they are commanded by the Lord of hosts. And there are multitudes of these dear kinds of people everywhere around the world. They're faithful to their churches, doing the best they know how to do, but they've not been given the bread of life. And here, in this biblical account, we see the master of Blue Galilee coming on the scene. An angel came down from God. The waters were stirred, but that wasn't enough. This man had been sick for 38 years. It took meeting the master face to face. And we might ask, what is it going to take today? Not for the half-truths and the intellectual debates or the psychological exercises or the educational endeavors. None of that of man's efforts are going to make any difference of eternal significance, but it's going to take seeing and meeting and entering into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus asked this man, "Wilt thou be made whole?" the man's answer was, "Sir, I have no man." And there may be many of you even listening to me right now, and there's maybe perhaps one area in your life or something, some concern of yours that would fit into this picture, whether it's spiritually or physically, financially. But look at the change. Look at the difference. When he said, "Sir, I have no man," your situation might look hopeless. You might not see a way out of the dilemma that you're in. But Jesus addressed this man. He said, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately, not after a long debate, not after the man thought about it for a while, but immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. And so God is saying to the church world, to every pastor, to every evangelist, every teacher, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Jesus Christ is saying to every member of the body of Christ, "Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole?" Jesus has done everything. The atonement is full and completed. And you might answer, "But sir, I have no man." But listen, we do. We have a man. We have the man from Galilee. That song we used to sing years ago, "Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters." He's still the same today. We have Jesus. He is your Savior, your salvation, your deliverer. This impotent man at the pool of Bethesda had no man until the man of action, the man of life, the man of miracles, the man of authority came his way. Right then and there, he met the man. Notice that Jesus commanded him to do three things. He said, "Rise," secondly, "Take up thy bed," and thirdly, "Walk." And if today's church, and I'm not speaking of the churches that are on fire, but those that are just not much more than social clubs, if they would be willing to arise out of their tradition, their unbelief, their dogmatism, and if the ministry of the church world would rise up and shake themselves free from the harlot system of spiritual Babylon, they will be free. They will know what it is to have met the man. Do you recall on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus left his disciples at the base of the mountain? He took Peter and James and John with him, and they saw Jesus transfigured in his eternal glory, the unveiled Christ. And we hear in John's Gospel, the 17th chapter, the Lord's high priestly prayer, where Christ spoke of the glory which he had with the Father before the world was. And after his resurrection, his disciples saw him in his glorified body. They saw him ascended to heaven in power and majesty and glory. And in the book of Revelation, that very first chapter, verses 13 through 18, we see him as he is. There's a magnificent description of him. And every detail of this description speaks magnificently of the Lord's present ministry for his children, his redeemed children, you and I, brother and sister. John said he saw one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth before his death and resurrection, what did he do? He served. Before he died on the cross, that last night, he took water in a basin and he washed his disciples' feet. And when it came to Peter, good old Peter, Peter objected to Jesus. He said, you'll never do it. And Jesus told Peter that what he did then, that he didn't understand, he didn't know, but he would know later, he would know hereafter. And he was telling Peter, listen, Peter, you may not understand it now, but this is just a picture of what I'm going to do for you when I go back to my Father and sit at his right hand in his presence. And then John saw Jesus wearing the priestly robe and the golden girdle, speaking of his eternal deity, gold, speaking of the deity of his person. Well, beloved, there's yet a little more to share. Perhaps we can conclude on tomorrow's broadcast, but I must bring this broadcast to a close, but not before I give you an invitation to write and share whatever prayer needs you have. It's a great privilege. One of the joys of my heart is being able to sit down for a number of hours, and I can have an uninterrupted stretch, and I am able to answer the mail and deal with each letter personally. It's such a blessing, and I pray. I fast regularly for the partners for my radio family. So I do invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. And if you choose to email for your convenience, I certainly encourage that. And I will confirm receipt. I will pray. But if you would like an answer, I do devote personal ministry to the Ministry of Correspondence. So please include your mailing address. I love you. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.